I am so grateful. Are you grateful? Man, I am so grateful for all of you. I'm so grateful for this community. So I'm grateful for every single Sunday that is just such a joy to come together, to gather with familiar faces and new faces, and to have talent like this available to us, and to have beauty available to us like this on our grounds. Sometimes I just walk our grounds and I could almost cry with the beauty that is here. We are so blessed. Are we not? Yeah. So thank you for being you, for being a part of this community, for coming week after week, not just on Sundays, but all week long. It's always a joy to come together. And thank God we finally can, right? That too, we're still celebrating, and we're still coming back. Some people come back for the first time, week by week. Some of you might be back for the first time. So glad you made it home. So there's a lot of talk about booster shots these days in the news and probably in your lives, and considerations of whether you qualify or you're getting one and so on. And did you know there's a booster shot for stress reduction? Did anybody know about that? I know we are all going to be flooding. Yeah, where do we get it, right? Signing up, line up. It's gratitude. It's a booster shot for stress reduction. Researchers call it that. And we're going to talk a little bit about some exciting new research. But first, it reminds me of a story that I want to share about this idea of stress reduction, about a man that was under some stress and what he did. His name, he's a character that you might recognize. His name is Nasruddin. And Tyler knows him. So Nasruddin was wanting to visit his friend Tika, and his friend lived, in order to go see his friend in his home village, he was going to have to travel across the desert and the jungle by foot to get there. And so it was a big undertaking, but he started out and he just, you know, kind of was already self-talking. You love your friend Tika, so it's worth it, right? He said, what's 12 days in the desert and under the hot sun, no sweat? So he gets to the desert and he gets to the jungle. And he said, now the jungle is dark, as you probably know, and filled with greenery. And the paths are thin, and the foliage is thick. And you hear all these noises, and there's lots of little animals and life going on. And that means that there might be some big animals too, right? So it's kind of a whole different thing when he stepped into the jungle. So he told himself, well, you're just going through for a walk in the jungle. And so he continued to walk. And then he noticed behind him that there was a sound. And he looked over his shoulder to see that there was a tiger going for a walk in the jungle as well. So Nasruddin said to himself, well, this might be a good time to take up an exercise regime. And so he began to jog. And he looked over his shoulder and he noticed that the tiger had also taken up the exercise regime. And so he decided maybe he should run. In fact, maybe he should run so fast that he should go for the world record. And so he began to run as fast as he could. And he said it was like the pathway through the jungle was like a highway. He was running so fast. And he was sure that if a judge were there with a stopwatch, that he was very close to the world record. But as he looked over his shoulder, he recognized that the tiger was also going for the world record and was also very close to winning as well. And then suddenly he was out of the jungle and there was blue sky. And then suddenly he was at a cliff. And then Nasruddin was over the cliff. But he found a branch and he was clinging to it with all of his strength. And the tiger is up above breathing down. And so Nasruddin says, I went in these situations, like this is a common situation, right? When he's in a difficult place, he sings a little song to himself, and the little song goes like this. Nasruddin, you're in a difficult situation. he said it's just enough to sort of expand his mind a little bit. And then he begins to notice that one by one, the roots of the branch that he is holding are starting to come loose. And then he hears from below and behind him, now how could this be? Because the tiger is up here, and he glances over his shoulder, and yet there's another tiger below him. Now he says there is good news and bad news. The good news is if he were to fall from the cliff he's on, it's not very far and he won't hurt himself. However, if he falls, there's a tiger below him. And that might not be such a good idea, because the tiger was actually all along more interested probably in nutrition than exercise, he's realized. So he says that he doesn't, you know, he has to look around, sort of clear his head and see what there is. And as he's looking around, just right before him, he sees a really nice green vine and on it a red dot. And he's intrigued by this and he looks a little closer and he says he grips with his toes, which are considerable, and he takes one hand and he leans and he realizes it's a strawberry. And he says, my beloveds, did I eat the strawberry? Absolutely, I ate that strawberry. And he said, and I'll have you know, if you're ever on a cliff with a tiger up above and a tiger below, and you happen to spot a strawberry, it will be the sweetest strawberry you have ever had and that the world has ever known. So I love Nasruddin's stories. He's the holy fool of Sufism. And we, for the past 7 weeks, those of you who have been tracking with us, we've been on this holy fool series. We ended it last week with the author. I hope you enjoyed, if you were here, hearing from Lauren Artress. Yeah, I heard lots of really wonderful feedback. So we've been on this journey of the holy fool. And a big piece of that journey was about igniting the power of imagination, right? Getting that power of imagination located in our third eye really activated, because at these times, especially these times when we are in this collective space of recreating our world, of imagining what's new, what's next, what's the so-called new normal, how do we create this together? We need that power of imagination, right? So today we're going to talk about the future of gratitude, which might sound kind of odd and hopefully intriguing. It's intriguing to me because it's based on some new information that was just new to me this week. So I hope it's new to you too, or refreshing to you in some way. So when we set out to do something for the future, some kind of goal or dream or vision that we have that we want to make happen, what's that thing that we need to have it happen? Like a New Year's resolution. What is that thing called that we need? Anybody have an idea? What's that thing from within that we have to get to? Intention, good. Willpower, yeah. Joy. Okay, good. All right, well, all of those things, right? Intention, willpower, and joy. I was thinking about willpower because a lot of times that's like the thing that, you know, we power through, right, to get to the to what it is that we need to do. And willpower does work. It can work. But there are some problems with willpower. Have you encountered any difficulty with willpower? Yes, right. Yeah, people are doing this. Yeah. So there's actually studies that show in New Year's resolutions that 8% of New Year's resolutions make it to the end of the year, which actually I thought that was pretty high. And 25% of them are dead by mid-January. So they're somewhere in between, right? So willpower can work. That idea of I will overpower my short-term desires and needs for instant gratification because I have my eye on the prize of something in the future. But because of this difficulty, and because it requires us to, willpower requires this mental kind of challenge over the desires that we are holding, there's this internal conflict that naturally happens. And so there's stress. It creates stress, you know, this idea of I will power through to get there. And there's another way. If I told you there was a really easy other way. Would you want to know about it? Yes. And I bet you could guess, it's gratitude. Who ever thought about gratitude I haven't thought about it in that way as a future thing. I always think of gratitude as the thing that brings me in the present moment, like Nasruddin and the strawberry, suddenly forgetting all that duress and being in the moment of that sweet strawberry, you know? So when we are in that moment of giving thanks for our blessings or just feeling filled up, you know, lately it's, for me, after the rains, it's that lime green of the grass and the trees. Isn't that amazing? And it's just like, wow, that doesn't even look like it could be real. It looks like what I would have drawn as a child, and the teacher would have said, that's not the color of grass. You know, it's like, but it is. It's amazing. It's alive. It's new. It's fresh. It's something to be grateful for. So simple, right? So this new research is showing that gratitude is a key to our future success, to realizing our dreams, to being able to come to fruition into our visions, to manifest that which we desire, to achieve our goals. And that happier, healthier, stress-free way of gratitude has come out of the research of primarily David DeSteno and some other researchers that he's worked with. He's written a couple of books. One of them is called How God Works. That's his recent one. And so he brings in also the religious traditions, because, you know, all the religious traditions of the world have gratitude as such a key practice. Giving thanks for our blessings, giving thanks to God, to each other. The research bears out that it doesn't really matter what we are giving thanks to. If it's genuine gratitude, it has the same effect. So some of the things that they have learned, you know, are beyond our normal list of the benefits of gratitude that maybe we've already known by the researchers on happiness. I still always think, like, if I weren't a minister, I want to be a researcher on happiness. Doesn't that sound like a fabulous position to have, to be immersed in happiness all the time and looking at what makes people happy and why, you know, what the practices and habits are of happy people? Anyway, that's another thing for another day. David DeSteno and his colleagues have studied gratitude for about 15 years and similar topics, and they have found some really cool things about it, and one of them is this idea that not only is it something about our present, but it's something to make a winning investment in our future. So here's a few gems. One is that emotion is actually geared to the future. And they talk about how, because we use emotion to make decisions right now about what we're going to do next, emotions set expectations for us. You know, so when we're having an emotion, we might make some decisions and set some expectations for ourselves of what is coming next in our lives or what is ours to do. And also, a lot of times when we think about things that we are dreaming about doing or visioning or having goals for, there's a sense of, in the short term, I need to make a sacrifice, right? That there's something I might need to give up in order to get to my goal. And while that's true, the sacrifice may not even be how we think of sacrifice when gratitude is present. Because we often think of sacrifice as, oh, you know, something god-awful, right? But actually, if gratitude itself is a part of the sacrifice, it doesn't really feel like a sacrifice at all. It becomes kind of a misnomer. Even in Psalm 50:23, it says exactly that all we have to do is give thanks to the divine or give thanks in general. It says that the one who offers thanksgiving as their sacrifice glorifies me. I would never have thought of thanksgiving and praise and gratitude as any kind of sacrifice, right? How easy it is for us, how simple it is for us, and how difficult we make our lives to get to the things that we desire, to live the lives that we envision, to create the world that we want. And it turns out gratitude is all we need. So we might be used to thinking of that gratitude as a sacrifice, but instead we can shift our thinking into the joy that David mentioned gratitude is. There is no anxiousness there. When we are in gratitude, when we are in that moment of gratitude, I mean, how do you feel? You know, I feel warm and joyful when I'm in a space of gratitude, or satisfied and fulfilled. You know, and so those feelings then just allow us to be filled up in a way. So we'll all have probably different descriptions of how we feel, but overall there's a goodness there, right? There's a goodness that comes with it. And there's an infilling that comes with it. DeStenno and other research have discovered that people who feel grateful double their ability to have self-control. Yeah, so if you are in gratitude, then your ability to surpass whatever it is that you desire. And I know that from myself, like I always want to reward myself with little treats when I'm in a place of stress. Anybody ever do that? Yeah, and it gets a little out of hand when it's like chocolate, you know, a couple times a day, and then, you know, it's this and it's that and whatever it may be, you know. And so if instead we reached for this infinite supply of gratitude, we would be filled up. And then we may or may not want the chocolate, but it's kind of neither here nor there, because we have infilled with the ever-present, like that's like a spring that never stops, right? This is abundance. This is our abundance teachings. It is both the law of attraction and the law of circulation at work when we practice gratitude. So there's also this idea that when we practice gratitude, part of the reason why we double our self-control, our ability to have self-control, is because we come in contact with what we value. And so when we are grateful and we come in contact with what we value, then that thing that we want to manifest or move toward is also something we're connecting with, that I value where I want to be. So I'm in a place of valuing, and I value where I want to be. It's not a very far distance there between those things. In my experience, when I go to that well of gratitude and fill up and have these feelings, I do realize it can carry me further to my destination now that I think about it this way. I hadn't thought about it this way even a couple of days ago until my friend Lisa Frick-Alofs, thank you, Lisa Frick-Alofs, introduced me to this research. She's from Unity of Columbia, and some of those folks often listen at 11:30. So shout out to Unity of Columbia in Missouri. So I was thinking about when Brenly and I first moved here, actually, from Missouri to, and one of the things we wanted to learn when we got to California was to backpack. And so instead of just going off with our packs and trying to figure it out as we went, kind of like the movie Wild, if you've seen that, or the book, we took a class with a Sierra Club, which was really good and really helpful. And one of the things they taught us seemed sort of counterintuitive. They said, don't worry about making your water last through your hike. Just carry it in your belly. I was like, really? You know, so they'd be like, yeah, drink all the water you want. Just carry it in your belly. But it's kind of the same thing with gratitude, right? We don't have to parcel it out, right? In this case, it's ever present. It's always there for us. So we just fill up, carry it in our bellies, carry it in our hearts, carry it in our minds. So that's kind of how it feels to me, that not only do we not have to parcel it out because there's no limitation to gratitude, but also our pursuit of our dreams then isn't about something's missing here, so I have to get over there, right? We don't look to our future like it's not good here, and I just have to, this moment is sort of a stumbling block to my goodness in the future. Instead, we're filled up with goodness right now, and as we fill up with that goodness and we are practicing the principle of abundance, then we recognize that even more good awaits me in my next few steps. So if I'm full now, it's just going to continue. There's no worries. There's no limit. There's no not enoughs. Just saying thank you. That is crazy. crazy good news, isn't it? Meister Eckhart, Lisa reminded me at the break, said, thank you is the only prayer you've ever had to say, or you ever need to say. I think he says it more poetically. The only prayer you ever need is thank you. And I hadn't really thought about it in that way. I've always thought about it as more of like a training moment with prayer chaplains, you know, like, don't worry about all the words. I know it's getting kind of crazy. Just thank you is enough, right? But thank you is enough in the sense that it really is enough, that this simple practice carries us into everywhere we want to go. And there's even more good news. So as we practice, maybe even, let's just take a dip in just right now, you know, just to take a moment to drop into your heart or to your belly, if you wish, and just allow some thank you, something, you could just say thank you, or you can allow something to arise that you are grateful for, something specific you are grateful for. And notice how it feels, maybe if you could describe the feelings that come with it. And then just allow that to be locked in the memory of your heart. That this is how it feels when I'm grateful. And I would guess more of us would love more of that. And that's all we have to do. We make it so complicated, don't we? All we have to do is drop in and give thanks. And then let that fuel us in our lives, in our moments of being and doing and interacting and so on. Louise DeLue came back to church. Some of you know Louise and David. Last week I was visiting with her. They were back another Sunday. But I said, wow, Louise, you just look fantastic. You're just all aglow. And she said, well, I want to tell you about something that I've been doing. And she said that she downloaded this mindfulness app. She gave me permission to share all this, by the way. She downloaded this mindfulness app that allows you to set up these bells at any time you want. And so she set up these Tibetan bells to go off twice an hour every day from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And every time the bell goes off, she stops, drops in, does exactly what we just did, and gives thanks for something. So David's been doing it too, her husband, and their bells go off at different times. So when they hear each other's bells, they're getting another measure of practice, right? And she said that, I mean, her health, her outlook, her everything is better. In her words, she said, she sent me this email, we've been doing this for over a month now, and we seem to walk around smiling quite a lot. And she said, sometimes I've run out of gratitudes, and so I just thank God for giving me life today. And then she says, wow. Yeah. So it's that kind of thing that we can do for ourselves so simply and completely, really, change our lives. Change our experience. I mean, gratitude on the studies of the past of the happy people and all that has shown that people have happier, you know, healthier relationships and tend to, you know, just all these extra benefits that have come with gratitude that we've known for a while. What's new and exciting is this idea of that the law of attraction is in action, that as we give thanks, we are also attracting good into our lives and making our future even brighter. As I mentioned, praise and thanksgiving have been part of our religious practices around the world from the beginning of time that people have existed. And counting our daily blessings, journaling, doing the kinds of practices we just mentioned, dropping in, giving thanks throughout the day, all of that makes a difference. DeSteno actually suggests that we do something else. He says that to keep our gratitudes fresh will also make a difference. So he said, a lot of times we have kind of our go-tos, right? The five things we're grateful for that we'll tend to go back to again and again. He said, but that gets us kind of habituated and it sort of loses some of its energy. So keep it fresh. There's always something to be grateful for that's new that happened to you in the day. So he said, give thanks for the person who held the door for you, or who gave up their seat for you on the bus, or the flower you came across and you smelled today. You know, just go with the things that are in your immediate experience too, because that will continue to keep you in a fresh practice, which will also keep us attuned to keep looking and paying attention. And pretty soon it just becomes like second nature, right? To just be giving thanks all the time. You're going to be so fun to be around that you're going to have to, like, you know, organize all the friends. Seriously, because it is a law of attraction, right? When we are in joy, when we are filled up, when we are grateful, when we are full of the divine, everybody wants to come near. Everybody wants to be a part of that. And then they can learn the practices too. And then they begin to, you know, this is how we change the world right here at Unity, with a simple practice of gratitude starting on Thanksgiving week. How about that? Yeah, yeah. So expanding our practice, if you've already got a practice, don't just go, oh yeah, I already do that. Expand it, try something new, or deepen what you're doing. Here's some more exciting news from this research. As we continue to want to co-create the kind of world that we want to live in, DeSteno's work have shown that, well, let me just tell you about a study. In one study, they had a bunch of subjects come in and do this very arduous, long, difficult, annoying, brain-teasing exercise on a computer. And they, by design in the experiment, when they were almost done, they made the computer crash. I know. I love this. Everybody's like, oh, you can so be with it, right? In that moment of how that might feel. And then part of the study, there's an actor in the room who they would presume is another subject or a researcher, but that person is a plant. And they come over and they help the person get the computer thing back up, and they haven't lost their work. And 95% of the people expressed so much gratitude for the help they received. 5% of them somehow thought they did it themselves, which I love. But anyway, so the 95%, then what they did was they looked at afterwards what happens. When we have reported feeling grateful recently, then what happens if somebody asks us for help? So when the people left the building after the study, there was another actor who would come up to them and ask for help. And the people who reported their gratitude were far, that they were grateful, were far more likely to help another person. So the kind of world that we envision, where all life thrives in conscious oneness, is a kind of world we can create by filling ourselves up with gratitude, because we would be so much more willing to help everybody around us. And there's more. They also found that justice is sweetened and enhanced by the practice of gratitude. They studied this by having person A cheat person B, and the observers, some were reportedly grateful and some not necessarily, and the observers who were in a place of gratitude were far more likely to speak up for what they saw and speak up on behalf of the person who was cheated. So when we are grateful for the privileges that we have, when we are connected to the fact that we have privileges, we've talked a lot about privilege in the last year or so, especially as racial consciousness was raised in our community and around the world. I feel like I need to add better late than never. But anyway, here we are, right? And so as we begin to wake up more to the privileges that we hold in various ways, that we all hold in various ways, then we want to share when we are grateful, when we are filled up, when we are aware, we want to share, and we have the courage and willingness to stand up and to speak up when somebody is cheated, when somebody doesn't have the same level of justice that we do. All starting from the simple practice of saying thank you. So, Hebrews says that praising and sharing is the way to build the city that is yet to come. It reads like this: "For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge God's name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have." So whether we're out for a hike this Thanksgiving or filling our bellies full of plenty around a table, we can also remember that as we fill ourselves with true thanksgiving, it'll keep on giving throughout the year. It's not about just one day, right, of gratitude, but hopefully from this moment forward, a reminder, and not just a reminder, but a stepping in to a practice that's going to uplift our entire world, not only ourselves and our individual lives. So as we begin to say yes to this, then we can see how far it's going to take us toward our dream lives and our dream world. Gratitude is a booster shot for stress reduction. It enlightens our present moment, and it brightens our future. That's a lot out of a little thank you. So let's begin our practice right now and speak our affirmation together. Together, as I practice gratitude, I enlighten the present and brighten the future. Thank you.